Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
I kind of don't want to sit down. Is that weird?
Yeah, it kind of is, because the desk is low and the camera's looking right at your stomach. So all morning long, they're going to look at your pocket, I guess, if you want to if you want to stand. But
I'll just do both.
You're gonna do that. That'll last about 30 seconds, maybe. Yeah. Maybe about 30 seconds, maybe as long as...
I drive 25 minutes to work.
Yeah.
Did a little bit of quick, you know, stuff on the computer, sat. We do the show for 4 hours. You know how we get up and we do our little laps every break?
Sure, you got to. You got to stay. I was actually reading an article this morning about if you want to extend your life. Yeah, and it's all about movement all day long, right? Like, you're supposed to continue to move all day long. And that's whether you get one step in or 10 steps in, you got to stay moving. So
did we nail it?
I think that looks absolutely ridiculous, you standing up. But but go for it, man. Yeah, you do you, right? You know?
Just trying some new things here.
Hey, look, I got up at 3 o'clock again this morning and ran, you know, 5K this morning in the basement, and I feel good. I feel ready to go.
The last time he did that, his wife was telling me it sounded like Shannon Sharp in the kitchen. Yeah,
she's like, what? She's like,
I woke
hell?
Up and I just heard like, I was like, damn, Bob, put a little pep in the step in the morning.
I don't know, man. The older I get, the earlier I'm getting up. I hope this is not going to be like one of these trends where in 10 years I'm embedded 4 and up at midnight. Getting ready for the day or whatever the case may be. It really is. Like, yesterday was brutal, right? Like, yesterday, I picked the kids up, got them home about 3:30, and it was like, all right, time for bed.
Yeah.
I'm ready to cash in.
Anybody hungry for dinner?
Oh, God, yes. We normally eat fairly early around our place because of my hours. And it's
like 5:30 or 6?
Yeah, between 5 and 5:30 usually.
Yeah, they say you shouldn't eat after 7 anyway.
That's what they say, you know? That's what they tell you. So, get the food in the belly early. Actually, dinner is like the worst meal I think that you can have because it just sits in your stomach all night. You know, like, the earlier you eat, the better and all that kind of stuff. So whatever the case may be. But they say you're supposed to eat your smallest meal at dinner, your biggest meal at breakfast, and, you know, kind of work your way down through the rest of the day.
So what'd you have for breakfast?
I don't eat breakfast. Okay. Yeah, I don't because if I eat, I get the hiccups, and that doesn't do well for 4 hours of having a conversation. So I guess I kind of intermittent fast because I usually don't eat till about 1 o'clock, you know, on most days. So
you eat between 1 and 5:30.
Yeah, yeah.
And then nothing else in between.
Yeah, usually that's about it. Yeah, some popcorn at night. Get some of that skinny pop, you know.
This guy's got a problem, man.
Yeah, I do. I do have a problem.
He eats 2 bags a week.
Yeah. Oh, God. Skinny pop? That's nothing.
Skinny pop?
That is absolutely nothing. I can motor through the popcorn.
You need to do a collab of skinny pop to the theme of NSYNC's Dirty Pop.
How does Dirty Pop go?
I don't know. Matt can play it.
Yeah, I'll pull it up, see what I can do.
I don't want to ruin the day at 6:03.
No, that's all right. I mean,
at least your day is not, who the hell is UMKC?
Calvary? I've never heard of
that's
this team
real,
before. Well, apparently it is. UMKC won by 100 last night, for those who are waking up this morning.
Like, legit 100.
119-19 was the final of their basketball game last night.
How do you explain that to your team?
Who the hell wins a game by 100? Which team are you talking about explaining it to? Are you talking
the one
about
that couldn't score 20?
The one that was down 60-9 at halftime.
You are college athletes.
You're at a college named Calvary, though. Where is Calvary? What is Calvary? And how do you lose by 100?
Isn't Calvary the horse army? Like, call the Calvary?
Yeah, call the Calvary. Yeah.
Which is by far the most underrated form of combat there is.
Well, we don't use that anymore.
Well, yeah, because you have machines.
Yeah, right. Tanks and things.
Yeah, imagine when the first horse met the first tank. Gee, I wonder how quick that was.
Not good. It didn't go well. Glue factory right away, but how do you lose by 100? I mean... And it's perfect, too. If they would have won like 119 to 20, you're like, it was just 99. It's not that. But you won by 100 freaking points last night.
Well, what's more impressive, the fact that you won by 100 or the fact they didn't score 20 points?
I don't know. That's not even.
Your daughter's team would score 20 points. And that's not me being disgraceful.
No. Like,
they would score 20 points. Yeah, like 20 points is not tough in basketball.
It's not. I've gone to many a middle school basketball game and watched.
Even
and
if it's 30 to 28, yeah, that's 20 points.
That's more than that team scored against UMKC last night. Like that's embarrassing. And I'm not going to be one of these that sits here and goes, UMKC. No, they didn't run up the score. It's Division I basketball. Get your ass out there and play, right? Like if I was UMKC, I would have motorboated by as many as I possibly could in a game like that, because that's what you're supposed to do. And if the competition isn't playing good, tough. I mean, enough of like trying to be nice to everybody.
At UMKC, Scotty Walker was feeling it.
Yeah, he was.
Because he was going against Calvary's best player who couldn't make it on Hall McCarter's middle team.
Yeah.
Less than a point every 2 minutes.
Yeah, that's exactly right. When you think about it that way, right?
That's crazy. Like
Calvary.
Meanwhile, the other team's scoring 10 points every 2 minutes.
I mean, it's wild. It's just absolutely insane to lose a college basketball game by 100. But I asked Matt.
Boy, this one's really one-sided tonight, fellas.
Yeah.
What's the score? 35-0. Yeah. Oh, can't imagine what halftime's going to be.
Is this 60-9. You know, like 60-9 at halftime, 119-19 is the final. Could you imagine be like the radio announcer for that game? Exactly, and we're up by 100, you know, like, oh my God. And like Calvary fans, if they made the trip to UMKC, I don't know if that's a big trip for them. Cause again, I don't know where Calvary is, quite frankly, don't care where Calvary is, but, you lost by 100. Like, what do you gain out of that, right? Like, I'm sure, like, if the Chiefs win by 100, it'd be a lot of very happy fans, right? Oh, right. We won by 100. Yay! What did you learn from, you know, waxing somebody by 100 last night? I don't know. I don't know what you gain by that. And maybe you shouldn't have that game on your schedule anymore. I don't know.
Judging by the picture on Twitter, it sure looks like the UMKC guys had some fun. They're like flexing, bumping chests.
But you won by 100, man. Like, that's cool, right?
She played Calvary.
Well, there is that.
You but you won by 100. Their tallest player was 5'9".
Shout out to my man Jake Cage, who's the assistant over there at UMKC. Good dude, man. So shout out, Jake. You win by 100 last night.
Nice.
Way to go. Did you find out where Calvary was located?
KCMO.
It is?
Yep. Private Christian University in KCMO.
Never heard of it.
We knew that it was in
literally.
Kansas City.
Have you ever heard of Calvary?
I was just letting you figure it out.
I had never heard of Calvary.
Total enrollment in 2019, 430 people.
Okay. Yeah. 2019.
Yeah.
It's 2024.
Yeah, so maybe
any
600
updated numbers
people now? Yeah.
What's going to happen more? More official students at Calvary or total points in basketball this year?
For the season?
Yeah, they're at 19.
I'm going to say
580 to go.
I don't know that they're going to get 580 the rest of the way.
I am glad that you brought that up because it transitions well into my point that I want to see from this Sunday. Not the score per se, but that's domination, right?
Yeah,
that's a clear definition of dominating. What's everybody in the NFL world wanting to see, Mr. Fesco?
Oh, they're wanting to see domination by teams, but there hasn't been a lot of domination
and
this year.
I think more so with the Chiefs, they want to see domination from Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
Because my homework yesterday consisted of what is everybody say today about the Chiefs? And everybody's different from every single person you listen to. And one of the things that I noticed was that the two popular outcomes of the Bills game and going into this week was Josh Allen outplayed Patrick Mahomes, but he's not the only one to outplay Patrick Mahomes,
sure,
from what they say. And the fact that we haven't seen that Patrick Mahomes yet.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is one of those games where you have to go UMKC Calvary, and Patrick Mahomes is the metaphor that we use here.
Like, yeah,
go play against Carolina. I'm not saying the Chiefs need to win 42-10. That's not going to happen. But I would love to see Mahomes go like 31 of 35, throw for 310 yards and three touchdowns, and they win 28-7.
Yeah. Yeah, that'd be a good
win.
That's
a blowout. Yeah. That's a big win. That's not one of your Detroit Lion 56-7 wins, but this team can do that. And I know they're not going to show a whole lot, but like you said yesterday with the vanilla playbook against Buffalo, you play that playbook against the Carolina Panthers, you probably win that game very easily. And if Patrick Mahomes can be that guy that he has been before and we haven't seen it yet,
yeah,
then all of a sudden we kind of have that feeling back in our stomach, because I think after you let the loss of the Bills, you know, fizzle out, which no one's really disappointed
no,
in it.
No.
And you see what it does to the team, and everybody's like, yeah, we're going to stew on this. We're going to get better. We're going to move forward. And, you know, this will be something that lights a spark, is what Patrick Mahomes said.
Yeah.
Maybe that's something where he goes into the lab, figures something out, sees a couple of things, because we know he's done that before, especially in game. And maybe this is that game that we see Patrick Mahomes go out there, and it's the two middle finger game. It's the, hey, I'm back. I'm here.
Yeah.
I'm ready to hear my name, you know, be talked about again. I know he doesn't care about that, but a little bit of tells me that he kind of wants to see.
Well, I think a little bit of you probably does care about it. And I can tell you that is kind of the feeling that they're having right now, just by having some conversations and whatnot. Like, they're already dialed in for Carolina. They know what they did against Buffalo, quote unquote, was a stinker at their level. You know, they suffer one of these every year. We talked about it yesterday. Cincinnati. The feeling that I'm getting from having conversations with people is this loss the other day is very much like the Bengals loss in 2002. Remember when they went to Cincinnati and nobody really knew if Cincinnati was good, and they beat Cincinnati, or Cincinnati beat us there, and then we came back and beat them in that championship. Or I guess that was the second time around with Cincinnati in 2022 or three, whatever it was, the second time around. They beat us over there the second time in the regular season, came back, we beat them in that AFC championship game. This is that loss to Buffalo kind of has that same type of feeling, is kind of what we're gathering. But the Chiefs, you know, they suffer one of these every year where they're playing good enough football to win, but they're not playing good enough football to get to where they want to go. The Raider game last year, obviously, the Tennessee game we talked about yesterday, you know, that first year where they got kind of kicked in the teeth and had the extra point or the field goal blocked at the end. I guess it was the field goal blocked at the end to win that thing. So there's a lot of similarities right now between that Buffalo game and games that we have seen in the past from a kind of a motivating standpoint. And I think this team now understands, okay, we played around for 10 weeks. We went 9-1, all fun and good, but now it's time to really take it to that next level. And I think beginning this week against Carolina, we're going to see this thing turned up a notch. You're getting Isaiah Pacheco back, most likely. I think hopefully this is the week where they finally figure out Xavier Worthy and keeping his feet in bounds and throwing a better ball to him, as you know, we need to do from a Patrick Mahomes standpoint. So I think there were enough things that happened in that Buffalo game where you can look back and go, okay, this was the game where that kind of turned the Chiefs to that next level to get them ready for that postseason run.
I would believe it. I mean, this is one of those things where you have the opportunity, because the team is way, way less, you know, superior than the Chiefs, especially Carolina. But yeah, they've won two in a row.
Well, yeah.
Coming off a bye.
Who they beat? They beat the Giants, and then the previous week they beat...
the Saints.
The Saints. Oh, that's right. Saints. That's right. Yeah. And Rattler. That's what led to that guy getting fired, right? Right. Yeah, down there, hired Dennis Jones or something.
And they hired the clogger.
And then they hired this Rizzi guy, yeah, right?
The
like
clogger.
They've won two in a row now with Rizzi, haven't they? Yeah, so they're going to give him the job and screw that whole thing up. And Rizzi will get the job, and they'll go 2-14 next year.
Clog it with a two while you win two. That's what he's doing in the Saints.
Right. Gotta love it, man.
The uniforms look similar. Mac Morey, Bob Fesco, Dusty Liggett's coming up. We get you the blueprint for the Chiefs moving forward here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Kansas City sports, 96.5 The Fan.
Thank you, Alan Carr, for that report. Hopefully you all stayed grounded last night with the...
It's windy out there, huh?
I think.
Boy, my wife's like, it sounds like an ocean out here. But it was a warm breeze. I mean, it's like 60 degrees here before Thanksgiving. I thought it felt kind of nice, the little breeze we had last night.
I thought it was great.
Coming from the south.
So yeah, the south wind. Better than that north wind. But temperatures are down 10 degrees from where they were this time yesterday. So bundle up if you're waiting at the bus stop this morning.
Yeah, it's like 50 degrees. Be a warm one this week. Chiefs of Carolina. Noon game. Kind of love that. Love a good nooner.
I was thinking about that driving in. You said you like it because of the red zone opportunity, and maybe you'll watch the red zone. Maybe you'll watch the Chiefs. I like it because it's over. You get the rest of the day. That's what I like most about it.
I would agree to that if, like, the rest of your day was Dallas, New York, Giants, and then it was, like, I don't know, Seattle and the Rams, which that might be a
decent
game. That
may be a game, yeah.
But, like, this week is what Red Zone's all about. And we'll get to the blueprint of the Chiefs, but the blueprint for Sunday is I'll have the Chiefs on the main TV, Red Zone on the smaller TV on the Roku. And then at 3 o'clock... I'm just going to switch it up, because this week the noon games are absolutely ass.
But they're so bad, Nance and Romo aren't even doing a game this week.
No, they're taking Thanksgiving week
they're
off. Like, wow. Thursday night is decent, right? Thursday's Steelers Browns.
Thursday could be a good one.
It's a rivalry. It's a division game. Yep. I'm talking myself into it.
About that one. I'm with you. Cleveland and Pittsburgh's always a good game.
It's Jameis Winston versus Russell Wilson, which could be absolutely awesome.
Yeah.
And then here's your noon slate. Chiefs Panthers. Come on.
Take your bias out of that.
Yes. That's a terrible game.
Right.
Bucks Giants.
Oh, that's a good one.
Lions Colts. If you really believe in Anthony Richardson, that's the only thing that's holding you on to that one. But that could be another boat race for Detroit.
So Detroit has scored 40 twice this year, I think, in the games, right?
50 times.
I think only five other games have seen somebody get into the 50s this year, is the number that I saw yesterday.
That's cool. Who they do it against?
Wild. Exactly.
Tennessee Houston.
But the point is, everybody wants these blowouts. They don't exist.
Right.
Tennessee Houston. Yeah. That's a good rivalry game, right? I hope Tennessee wears the Oiler jerseys.
Ooh. Yes, they did that last year.
They did that to Houston. Yeah, I loved it. Yeah.
It's great.
Especially if they do it on the road. That'd be a hell of a flex. New England, Miami.
I don't hate that game.
What are we playing for here in that one, guys?
Who's the better quarterback?
Well, Miami's battling.
Miami's playing for the seventh seed because that's all that's available in football.
Right.
Dallas, Washington.
That's a good one.
Oh, yeah. Minnesota, Chicago.
Wait, Dallas is playing a nooner?
Yeah.
So we got Dallas, Kansas City at noon.
Wow.
Both of them. Wow.
Yeah. So Minnesota at Chicago.
Yeah.
Denver, Vegas. I mean, we're rooting
for
Vegas,
right?
That's the first 3 o'clock game.
Okay.
Then you get Arizona, Seattle, 325. That's a good game. Mm. That's a good game. 49ers, Packers. Could be good.
Right? But the Niners, what are you, man?
That's a good what are you game. Are the Packers going to come off that exhilarating win against the Bears and blow out the Niners? Or are the Niners going to come in and be like, hey, here's the deal.
Right.
And then Eagles, Rams, Sunday Night Football.
Okay, that's a good one.
And then Monday night's your Harbaugh Bowl.
Oh, yeah, the Harbaugh Bowl on Monday's pretty good, too. But I do like the Eagles game.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
That's a really good game.
That's a good game.
Because that's another who are you game.
Yeah, exactly.
Are you the dominating team outside of Detroit in the NFC? And are the Rams going to be hanging around until the very end of the season as Stafford got his guys back?
Right.
And that could be one of those games where Hurts in the offense of the Philadelphia Eagles looks like they're moving forward, or it looks like Stafford is back to being Matthew Stafford.
Right. Yeah.
Because so the Rams could be fun to watch.
Could be fun to watch,
especially
man.
When
they
beat a cover two defense and Matthew Stafford looks down his sideline and holds up zero. If you read it before the play, like, dude, it was zero. Cooper Kupp, 80 yards, touchdown, which would be a blueprint we'd like to see for our Chiefs at some point with Xavier Worthy or somebody like that.
But, you know, like every time the Chiefs have lost in the past, somebody would always say on national TV, have they found the blueprint to beating the Chiefs, right? You know, like every single time they lose a game, has found the blueprint to beating the Chiefs? The Bucks, you mean Tampa that year?
Yeah.
That one game in the Super Bowl where we didn't have an offensive line, that was the blueprint to beating the Chiefs?
No, the next year when they went through seven games and everybody's like, all right, Pat, you got to throw it underneath. You're not going to throw it over the top anymore. Mahomes is like that eager kid that wants to go 100 miles an hour.
Right, fortunately,
you can't do that in the city streets.
Can't do that all the time. So I think, you know, on Monday, you start to think back, or on Sunday, I should say, you start to think back to, like, is this the blueprint to beat the Chiefs? And I thought about it, and I'm like, you know what? Buffalo did show the Chiefs, or show the rest of the world the blueprint to beat the Chiefs. However, nobody else has the ability to execute that blueprint to beat the Chiefs. Nobody has the balls to do what Buffalo did on Sunday.
Go for it on fourth down.
Play to win the game, right? Like Herm Edwards said, you play to win the game.
Yeah, and like if you're Carolina, not to cut you up, but if you're Carolina, why would you ever punt?
You would never punt, like, right?
Why would you ever punt? Fourth and 19
from
your own 20. Go.
I agree with you in this game, 100%.
My bad.
And no, not at all. And it's a conversation, which is okay. And Romo talked about this in the game. Like, mm-hmm. he's like, they're not afraid to win. And I think a lot of teams have been very afraid to win against Kansas City. They also have the quarterback that's able to execute the ballsy calls by the head coach, right?
Yeah.
They have Josh Allen. Nobody else has that right now that the Chiefs are going to play. And so they won because Buffalo wasn't afraid to go out there and beat the Chiefs. And they have a quarterback that knows how to pull off these amazing plays, right? Let's say what it is. Josh Allen right now is your MVP. And I start to look at the opponents that the Chiefs have coming up, or maybe even some of the ones that they've played in the past and possibly could see in the postseason. What other opponent has the balls as big as Sean McDermott did, coupled with a quarterback like Josh Allen, right? What about Pittsburgh? Tomlin won't be afraid to win. But does he really have the quarterback that can go out there and make those plays that we saw Josh Allen make against this Chiefs defense? Like, do you think Russell Wilson can be Josh Allen? I don't particularly think so, but Mike Tomlin definitely has the stones to go out there and do it. What about Baltimore? I mean, I think Harbaugh has the stones to go out there and win a game, but the quarterback hasn't proven that he can win a game. Lamar Jackson right now is 3-10 versus Pittsburgh and Kansas City.
Mm-hmm.
Let that sink in for a minute. 3-10 versus Pittsburgh and Kansas City. Lamar doesn't win. And I love Lamar. I've got the softest spot in my heart for Lamar Jackson. Mm-hmm. I love him so much as a player. But the reality is he doesn't play big when he needs to play big. Detroit's going to be interesting because Dan Campbell's got the balls to go out there. He won't be afraid to win.
Mm-hmm.
Can Goff pull that off in the Super Bowl? Because that's the only time that the Chiefs are going to face the Lions. So is the blueprint there? Yeah, I think it is. But I don't know that many teams could pull off the blueprint like the Bills did, because they had the coach with the stones to do it and a quarterback that was able to go out there and execute.
I could argue both sides, because you bring a good point with the quarterback and going for it.
Yeah.
Because it got Denver housed by Baltimore.
Sure.
Denver went for it 5 times on fourth down, a couple times in Baltimore territory.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't work well for them. And they lose that game 42-10.
Bo Nix. As much as I love Bo Nix, you know? Yeah.
And that's what I'm saying. That's why it kind of defends. But, like, teams are going for it more often on fourth down. Like, I remember last night, for some reason, I actually kind of like Troy Aikman and Joe Buck. But they were talking about, Troy Aikman goes, yeah, the analytics say to go for it there, but sometimes the analytics are wrong.
Right.
And sometimes the analytics will get you beat. But I do believe that the way that you beat the Chiefs is the obvious, which is how Buffalo did it. Win third down and win time of possession. And if you win third down, you're going to win time
of
possession.
You're going to win time of possession.
Right? It's one of those things that if you do the first thing, the second one will follow suit no matter how you look at it.
And Buffalo threw a wrench into that third down thing a little bit for me, mm-hmm. because everybody focuses on third down. But for me, it's always about first down. Like, give yourself a great play on first down so you're in second and third and manageable.
Yeah.
Buffalo was in third and long basically all day and was still converting on this Chiefs defense.
Right. Well, I mean, that's why the Chiefs offense was so deadly when they had Kareem Hunt and Tyreek Hill, because Kareem Hunt would get 6 or 7 yards on first down, and then you have the gamble to where you're like, okay, I can send him loose and throw it deep. But the other thing that I would say is that Detroit's scary because they have a game in which their quarterback threw 5 interceptions and they still won.
Yeah.
That, to me, is maybe just an anomaly or maybe an outlier. But I think the obvious thing with the Chiefs is that the blueprint is, maybe I'm wrong here,
mm-hmm.
but the blueprint is you want the Chiefs to have the ball first, because it is such a massive advantage for the Chiefs once they kick first to start the game, and then they can kind of get into their rhythm, because guess who Spags gets to see first? He sees your offense immediately, and then eventually it's like right to the board. It's like, okay, here's what they're doing. Here's what I think we need to do. Meanwhile, the Chiefs now know with the advantage what the other team has done. Did they score 7? Did they score 3? Also, we need to now know what we need to do to take off this many, this much time.
Mm-hmm.
Then they get it in the second half. They control the narrative of the game.
Yeah.
When they don't get the ball first, it seems things are like, okay, let's see what happens. Now, this week it was a huge disadvantage because Mahomes throws the interception.
Right.
So,
and it basically eliminates that first possession.
Another blueprint is that a lot of these games will be decided on a coin flip with, like, who gets the ball first. Now, it may not matter for Carolina if they win the toss and they kick it to the Chiefs and the Chiefs go down and score 7 and Carolina throws a pick and they score 14. That can happen too.
Absolutely.
Just like going for it on fourth down, you can get it or you don't. But I think the one thing that the blueprint to beat the Chiefs is that there was a lot that the Chiefs missed out on. Like, again, I don't try to sound like a homer, but I do. But a lot of the way the Chiefs lost this game against Buffalo, they beat themselves.
Yeah.
The interception on the opening drive. Missing Xavier Worthy downfield, which should have been a touchdown.
And that's going to bother the hell out of Pat. Just believe me right now. I'm telling you right now. Like, that's going to bother him. Yeah.
Because, like, I'm confused. Because that's a play that, like, when you take the zoom out and you do what we shouldn't do, which is, the go back and freeze frame of the game that you've lost. When you go back and zoom, nobody is close to him within 10 yards. And not only that, he doesn't need to wait for him to get all the way there. Like, throw it
deep, yeah.
And he scoots in. That happens, right? I don't know. I mean, the Bills made a couple of big plays, but, the Chiefs beating themselves in little moments like that change the impact of that style of game. You miss Xavier Worthy against the Panthers, that doesn't affect you. But when you play a team like Buffalo, and the other thing that Buffalo has an advantage of, Buffalo always wins their division. Kansas City always wins their division.
Right.
They're going to play each other every single year. Mm-hmm. Buffalo and Kansas City have seen each other 12 times in the last 7 years because of playoffs and regular season.
Right.
So eventually, yeah, you're going to kind of get to know people's tendencies. You go play poker long enough with the same group of guys, you start to pick up on what Paul's tell is.
Right.
When he's sitting over there and he's starting to bet a certain amount, you're like, hey, when he bets $7, I kind of have a feeling like he's got that, you know, BS hand. I'm going to call him.
Right.
And you start winning. So you start to realize what those teams
do. Yeah, absolutely. But I do think, like, I think Patrick...
But let people get aggressive. I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. Get aggressive.
Get aggressive. Yeah.
It doesn't always work out.
But you have to have the people to be able to pull it off. And Sean McDermott saved his job last year with that pass, you know, that mm-hmm. Travis Kelce lined up offsides Kadarius Toney thing. I think Sean McDermott saved his job and then changed this team in the offseason, got the new offensive coordinator in there midway through last season, kind of mm-hmm. changed things up a little bit. He kind of reinvented himself. I'm more of a Sean McDermott fan now than I was.
Oh, yeah, you're back on the wagon?
Well, and I'm not necessarily back on the wagon, but he's got them moving in the right direction. They're playing really good football, and he's one of the few that has the stones to go out there and isn't afraid to try to win a game against Kansas City. A lot of these coaches are just afraid to go out there and do that, and Sean McDermott isn't afraid, and sure, Josh Allen.
You say that before we get to the library, but you say that these are two players for the Bills with two different responses.
It means we got to 9 wins. I know it's outside perception. It's a really big game, and what it means for both fan bases and the league. We're in week 11.
The speech from Coach McDermott was like, "It's just another game," and you know, 100 years from now, nobody's going to remember. And you know, we were like, "F that! This is a big game. This is why we're here. When the bright lights come on, we rise to the occasion. We don't need to sugarcoat it to take the pressure off of us. Pressure comes from within, and everybody in that defensive line room kind of rose to the occasion. And like I said, it was a special moment, and to be able to, you know, be optimistic and speak great things into existence, it's a wonderful thing.
Who's the second player?
Von Miller.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah, if I'm a Bills fan, I'm like, I don't want you saying that.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is, at the end of the day, a regular season game, and that sounds like you've conquered the king. And you haven't conquered the king until you do it in the postseason. If you come at the king, you best not miss, as they like to say. And they still have come at the king, and they've missed every single time when it matters most. So I just don't know if I'm a Buffalo Bills fan, if I like my player saying that at the end of the game. Big regular season win, nice regular season win. At the end of the day, it really doesn't mean anything.
Gentlemen, welcome back to the library. Shh. You know the rules. You've kept your library card. We're back with Fact or Fiction section.
Mm.
Mac Morey, Bob Fesco, welcome to the library.
Are people still becoming librarians?
You're talking too loud.
I want to save a quarter.
You're talking way too loud in the library, sir. If you keep it up, we're going to have to ask you to leave.
Dewey Decimal System, that's a scam.
The last guy that talked that loud's name was Josh Klingler.
He's sleeping now. He never talked that loud.
All right. For our first fact or fiction book, fact or fiction, Detroit Lions, the favorite to win the Super Bowl.
Is there somewhere in the middle that I can go with that? Like some fiction, some fact?
Pretty sure it's fact or fiction, sir.
I'm going to go with science fiction.
It's a small library, I think. I
don't think it's fact, but I also don't think it's fiction. I think they're obviously a good team, but I still think the Chiefs are the best team in the NFL from top to bottom. So Detroit's out there housing people. It looks great. Everybody's excited about them. I understand why they are the favorite, but I still think the Chiefs are the best team. So I guess I'll put that in the, you know, the half price book section.
Yeah, fiction. I mean, they are not the favorite. That is fiction to me. They are the second favorite, but until... You know, like you said, the king's dethroned.
Yeah.
Come on, nothing.
Yep.
Nope.
Well, if you'd like to go to the gambling section, the sports book has Detroit as the current favorite to be the Super Bowl champion.
First time in the history of their franchise.
Crazy.
They've been around like 100 years, you know?
That's okay. Our next chapter in this week's edition of Fact or Fiction, the Miami Dolphins are a playoff team. Fact or fiction?
Fiction books have stories. Nonfiction books have facts. So I'm going to say fiction.
Hmm.
You just confused me there for a second, but I'm going to go fiction. No, fiction. They're the third team in the AFC as far as the seventh seed's concerned. I'd put Denver and Cincinnati ahead of them.
Okay, well, Cincinnati's, that's a fiction.
It's fair.
I think Denver's getting that seventh
seed. I was going to say, I think we know our teams. I think we know the seven teams.
Well, I think there's only one team that's playing for the rest of the year. There's only one seed that we're playing for. That's
what he's saying.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. It's done. And I think it's already decided.
Dolphins' remaining schedule, if you'd like to know it.
Yes, please.
Packers.
Loss.
Patriots, Packers, Jets, Houston, Niners, Browns, Jets.
Yeah, that's not going to get them in.
Yeah.
Two more losses, they're out, right?
What are they at now? Aren't they like 3-6?
Four and six. Two more losses, give them an 8. You're not getting in the playoffs. 8 losses.
I don't think so. I don't think 9 gets you in.
Nope. So you think Denver's going to win 10?
I think so. I mean, I'd have to look at the schedule, but what are they at, 6 wins now?
If Denver wins 10 and gets in, how is Sean Payton not considered for coach of the year then?
I agree.
Of course, over at Andy Reid.
That's way too loud, sir.
Sorry.
Sir. Come on now. Keep your drink on the coaster.
He's been yelling at me all day, sir.
It's okay. It's all right. Fact or fiction? Bo Nix.
Fiction? No. Fact. 100% fact. Have you seen the numbers? More touchdown passes than any rookie quarterback.
The text he sent yesterday just responded with the Kermit and the T.
Yep. Bo Nix is 100% fact.
Par for the course.
Did not respond to the text. Sure, he's fact. Listen, I've already said what I need to say about Bo Nix. I don't see this going much further than where we're at. But where we're at is a solid.
You didn't see him being this good either, so.
I did not.
Good for him. Speaking of Bo Nix, the team that he just absolutely destroyed, which is a team that is, again, led by Kirk Cousins, which seems like the same Minnesota Vikings team, same Washington team.
Yeah.
Fact or fiction, the Atlanta Falcons.
They're only fact because they play in a division that nobody wants to win. You know, like, so that's the only reason I give them a fact.
I'm going to go fiction, and here's why.
They're like the factual stories your grandpa tells you that are woven with a lot of fiction.
You're
you
like,
know?
Oh, that seems a little hyperbolic.
You did not beat up a horse, okay? But I understand
Veronica
you got into a fight with a horse.
Fine piece of ace.
Here's the Bucs schedule, though. They have lost twice to the Falcons, but here's why I'm going to say fiction on Atlanta. Bucs just had their bye. Giants, Panthers, Raiders are their next three. Mm-hmm. After that, Chargers, Cowboys.
Are you telling me Tommy DeVito's not going to go down there and beat Tampa?
You're right. Tommy Cutlets may give him a shot. Then after that, Chargers, Cowboys, Panthers, Saints. I mean, to me, there is one game at L.A. that they won't be favored in. I'm going to go fiction on Atlanta. Fakest team in the league.
Okay.
The Likens Library closes soon, but before we do, we get to two more. Fact or fiction? San Francisco 49ers.
Purdy back on the injury report this week. They're 5-5. I'm going to go fiction this year. I think they're a fiction team.
Is time running short in the 49ers run?
It may be. I'll bring that up a little bit later in the show, but
I'm leaning with you, Bob. I think I'll give them one more week of fact just because they've done so well these past 5 years. I'll give them one more week.
Okay.
My last one before we close. Please finish your lattes. Justin Herbert, serious candidate for MVP.
Total fiction.
Fact, baby.
Total fact, fiction. Fact. You got too many other guys that are up there that are going to get the MVP votes, whether it's Josh Allen or Lamar or Mahomes or Goff or Bo Nix.
Somebody said this segment just took me from 6 to midnight. Sir. Sir. That is another edition of the Likens Library. I'm starting to like that more and more.
I do, too. I like the music. It's very warm. It's very fireside
warm
chat.
On that too.
You feel good.
It's very Green Lady Lounge-ish.
Yeah, like it feels like you're at like a classy dinner in the 80s, you know?
Smoking a cig after dessert.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and they subbed your coffee for Folgers Crystals, too.
You got another one of those darts over there? I'm out.
Smoking or not, we only offer smoking. It's the 80s.
The only way you can light a cigarette back then is with a match or a Zippo.
Oh, the matches at the restaurant used to collect all them.
Oh, it was
a great time. Great time to be alive.
Oh, yeah.
Waiters in tuxedo jackets.
Hand behind the back, sir.
Yes.
Welcome to our station.
They had that little thing that scrapes.
Applebee's, dude.
Yeah. They had that thing that scrapes the table with all the crumbs.
Crumb brush.
I love those.
You don't see those anymore.
Don't see those.
You don't see many restaurants with a crumb brush.
Mm-hmm.
You really don't.
That's
Did you
true.
Use one when you were waiting? No,
I never worked in an establishment like that.
That's what I'm saying, but you don't see many of those places anymore. Very few and far between. Applebee's had those?
Of course.
Yeah.
No, they just use their own brush. Yes. Like, hang on, dude.
Would you rather see the waiter with a crumb brush at Applebee's or Dan Campbell bringing you boneless wings?
Dan. Come on, man.
That dude goes to Starbucks with his little Pomeranian. That was a hilarious picture.
I'll get him a dollarita. He'll sit down. Let's watch the game.
Dan Campbell takes all the caffeine.
Dan Campbell won't have to worry about Tough Tuesdays, but there are some people who might. When we get back, we go through our Tough Tuesdays on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City Sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan.
Right back here on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5, The Fan on a Tuesday. Damn, glad to have you. Tough Tuesdays is where this day goes at this time period on this day.
Yeah.
I'll give you a stat, Matt, because Bob's heard it, but he just heard it. So this is from Warren Sharp, a graphic that came up last night. If you saw it, stop me.
Okay.
Last six home games, including the playoffs, the Dallas Cowboys have had the lead for 2 minutes and 15 seconds. They've been down 20-plus points 109 minutes and 2 seconds.
Good Lord.
So again, Dallas Cowboys last six home games, including the playoffs, they've had the lead 2 minutes and 15 seconds. They've been down 20-plus points 109 minutes and 2 seconds. That's a tough Tuesday stat.
That's crazy.
Can I give you one that's going to take it to the next level?
Sure. I don't know how.
No, I think this will. Okay?
Is this the Eberflus?
No.
Okay.
This is one I want to get your both general reaction. You got your camera on for this, okay?
Yeah.
I saw this stat yesterday. The Dallas Cowboys are the only American professional sports team in 2024 to not have a home win.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Does Calvary have a home win?
I don't know that Calvary does. They were on the road yesterday to UMKC.
Oh, they don't, yeah.
Whew, that's five flags. Man.
That's brutal.
Can you imagine, like, every sports league in America, the Dallas Cowboys are the only team to not have a home win this calendar year. People would say, what about the Giants? I think they won a January game at home at the end of the regular season last year. But the Dallas Cowboys, the only team in the NBA, the NFL, MLB, NHL, all these leagues, MLS, all this stuff, they're the only team to not win a home game. It's November 19th. They have a chance on Thanksgiving, folks, with Tommy Cutlets and the Giants coming to town. But I would love to see them go the entire calendar year without getting a home win.
That's impressive.
And their home stadium's losing.
Yeah, it is. The stadium's falling apart right now.
They had the scaffolding fall yesterday, or the piece of metal.
Yeah.
And then randomly during the Jake Paul fight, they found out there's black curtains that can cover the windows.
Mm-hmm.
Did you hear about this?
No.
So during the Jake Paul Tyson fight, somebody had noticed the windows were covered up with a black curtain.
Oh.
And they're like, where?
You know, the ones that caused the sun a week ago?
They're like, where's this?
What?
Where's this for the game? And then Jerry got all pissed. He's like, well, why don't you just bulldoze the stadium down?
Okay.
Okay.
Fine. Yeah. Nobody cares.
Why don't you just draw the curtains when I take a nap, I don't want the sun to be in my eyes, and I take my canceling curtains and I close them.
Right. How about you're the only stadium built this way, and every engineer probably was like, hey, man, you know the sun's going to, I'm good.
Were they, though? Because engineers, like, they miss on things all
That's
the
fair.
Time. Like, they built that dome in St. Louis, forgot about the press box. They didn't build a press
That's
box
insane.
In that dome. Like, John Madden, the legend goes, where's the press box? They're like, oh, my God, we got to hang this thing from the ceiling.
They still haven't built a clubhouse at Stone Canyon. It's just a trailer full of clothes.
Well,
I don't understand it. It's literally what it is. I'm like, what are we doing here?
Like, just enjoy it.
That's fine.
Yeah, it'll be good.
But let's get into Tough Tuesdays, obviously. Yeah, on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5, The Fan. Bob? God.
Well, I think we're all going to lead it off with the same one. Like, Doug Peterson still is employed down in Jacksonville. Yeah, this is an interesting one from yesterday from Doug Peterson.
Play calling something that is up for potential change that you're evaluating right now?
Gosh, I really wish. everything's, well, let's just put it this way, everything's on the table.
Okay.
Let's leave it at that.
I don't understand that answer. It was as simple as play calling up in the air. And he's like, gosh, I wish. He was going to make a smart-ass comment, wasn't
he? You better believe it. Dude.
He was going to be like, boy, I wish I would have thought about that.
And then he saw his PR guy in the corner was like, oh, there's Randy.
Yeah.
I can't say that.
Right. Probably shouldn't go there because everybody already thinks I'm an
idiot.
And
he already did the
last week.
Yeah. He's like, you just don't really know what's going on.
Right.
And I'm not going to explain it to you.
Right. Yeah, because I'm a football coach. Ooh. I know more than you. Oh, do you, Doug? How's that working out?
Just lost like 52-6.
Yeah, you just got your ass kicked. Don't ever talk down to a reporter when you can't figure out how to not have somebody put a 50 spot on you
right. In
the NFL. Obviously, the Jets, they're on the clock. I think Brian Daboll is now on the clock with this quarterback switch because you moved out Daniel Jones. You moved in Tommy Cutlets. If the team responds and plays well, okay, great. But if the team lays down and doesn't play well and doesn't have the emotion and you go into the last 6 weeks of the season and your team isn't playing for the coach, then you probably got to make a decision there. Zach Taylor in Cincinnati, that clock is ticking really, really fast on Zach Taylor. And I think right now, I think the seat in San Francisco may be a skosh warm with Kyle Shanahan. I'm not saying the seat is hot and it's on fire, but they're 5-5 coming off a Super Bowl, and they haven't won the big one. Eventually, you kind of get to that point where, like, can you take us to the next level or not, sir? So I think it's a little warm there.
We have some interesting ones in the same sense of that, but and I don't know. Yeah, because I've got Kyle Shanahan because I'm wondering. I don't think that he's getting, like, hot-seated, but I'm wondering if they've built for the future, right? Like,
this holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the wave of San Francisco. This is, he got him to two Super Bowls in, what, 4 years? Mm-hmm. Lost both to the Chiefs.
Right.
Maybe it was 3 years.
No.
Aaron knows four.
Four, yeah.
And, you know, we're seeing the wear and tear of Christian McCaffrey.
Yep.
We're seeing Brock Purdy kind of, you know, Deebo Samuel has flexed more people than Michael Pittman Jr. this year after getting a contract, because Deebo Samuel, you can go look at his numbers. I know he's been hurt or he's been ill. Not great.
Right.
I get it. Brandon Ayuk had a season-ending knee surgery. That's not great. Mm-hmm. But it's like, what are you going to do after? Like, where are you going to patch this up? Like, the Chiefs went and moved on from Tyreek Hill. They figured it out. They got a defense. They kind of changed their, you know, their profile. So I'm wondering if, you know, the guy had a 3-year, 4-year run with the system, and now it's like your window's starting to close, and now you've got to go beyond this. So that's where I'm at. I don't know if it's hot, but he's having a tough Tuesday losing that game to Seattle and having everybody think about those sort of thoughts.
I'm with you on that one, because also, too, you know, you made a really good point with the Chiefs move on from Tyreek Hill. They're constantly winning Super Bowls and reinventing their roster. That's what you have to do. If you stay pat in an offseason because you had a good year the previous year, doesn't guarantee success the next year. You've got to make changes. That's why I love with the Royals, you know, and their name being involved in the trade market. Every position on that team other than catcher and shortstop is up for to get better, right?
The one difference I'd say about the Chiefs is that the Niners have to pay everybody around their quarterback and their quarterback, whereas the Chiefs are like, we just got to pay our quarterback and everybody around him will be okay.
Right.
Maybe. Defense is good too. Matt Eberflus is my tough Tuesday man.
You want another stat?
Here you go. This is from DraftKings. The Chicago Bears had a 71.3% chance to win during yesterday's game versus the Packers and lost with the blocked field goal. So this is for Monday. Over the last three seasons, the Bears have blown five leads with a 90% or higher chance of winning. The odds of losing all six of those games are 1 in 68 million.
Oh my God.
Yes. 1 in 68 million. And they did it.
Yeah, that's coaching right there. That's 100% coaching. There's no other way to put it.
That's coaching.
Yeah.
That's a tough Tuesday.
Hey, I've done something 1 in 68 million people couldn't do.
My other tough Tuesday and last one is John Harbaugh.
Oh, interesting.
Your quarterback has gotten tight in big games. You've lost another big one to a division rivalry, and now you're looming your brother at his house, whose quarterback is rolling and yours is not. I'm interested to see how he handles this game. Baltimore versus the Chargers. Chargers will show something. Baltimore's got to prove something. Should be a good game Monday night. I'm ready for it, but John Harbaugh's a little tough today.
A little bit of Belichick written all over it. Like, he's been there 17 years. Mm-hmm. They're still a very good football team. They haven't nosedived like the Patriots did. But after 17 years, sometimes they just say, hey, you know, time to make a change. He and Harbaugh will go somewhere and be an Andy Reid.
He kind of reminds me of Mike Socia.
A little bit. That's a good analogy. I like that one. Yeah. Where you're really, really good, but you can't
It's like you won your title in 2000, you know,
two,
whatever it was, man. And you've been here for 15 years. You got into the playoffs a couple of times, but you lose and you never get back. And yeah, it's over.
Yeah, yeah. So Harbaugh's not a bad one to have on that list.
And again, and I don't think he's getting fired or his seat's hot. It's just a tough Tuesday for John.
But if he did get removed from that job in Baltimore, he'd be a huge candidate.
Andy Reid all over
again. Would absolutely be. Yeah. But I think Vrabel's going to be a big hire this offseason.
Yeah, absolutely.
Linked to the Raiders.
Is he linked to the Raiders? See, I saw
an article yesterday.
I saw he's even linked to the Browns. I know he's coaching there right now as a consultant or something like that.
That'd be crazy.
But I also saw an article yesterday that the Browns should trade for Mike Tomlin. Now, I will say this. That's Pittsburgh is not trading Mike Tomlin to Cleveland. I don't hate the idea of trading for great coaches, but Pittsburgh and Cleveland, that ain't happening.
Pittsburgh's had, like, what, four coaches ever?
Ever, yeah.
Yeah, so yeah. That's not happening.
They've had three coaches since the 60s.
That's just nuts. It's going to be, I mean, what, five vacancies probably at the end of the season?
Oh, at least. Yeah. I mean,
6 to 7.
Yeah.
There's already two.
There's already two.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right. It's Tough Tuesdays. Coming back on the other side, who you got? MVP. That's the conversation here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.